I'm looking forward to this. One thing that we didn't mention in the hosting is that this series is based on a book by Hosanna Wong, who Hosanna and her husband Guy was our worship pastor for a while. And anyway, she has written a book. She's quite an accomplished speaker and author and just a wonderful human being. And it's called How Not to Save a World. That's what this series is based on. And we do have some books. We about went out of them last week, so I went ahead and grabbed some more. And you can get one if you're interested in the lobby at the end of the service. We're selling them at no profit right now, so she's not making a dime on these. She'll be able to when they go on Amazon, but she's given us these early. So it's $10 if you have cash, $11 if you have a card. And if you're interested, they will be in the lobby. All right, so this is on how not to save the world, because we're called to save the world. We're called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everybody. How not to do it. Last week, we looked at some of those things. I don't know about you. Anybody ever want to change anything about themselves when you were a kid? Like everything, probably, right? So I know I'm about to hear some awes, but this is me when I was just a wee lad. Yeah, I had. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. I had this head of blonde, almost white hair growing up, and I hated it because I don't know, it was the generation I was raised in or whatever. But you know, I wanted brown hair because brown was more masculine. Brown was tougher hair. Girls were blondes. I don't know. I hated having that. And then I get into age, and yep, that's me right there too. It's hard to imagine, you know, looking at me today, that I was not always a really large person. That's my senior year of high school. So I was little. I was really, you know, and played all the sports, and I had this Napoleon thing going on. And but my brother... See, my brother was like, I don't know what, he was eating different Cheerios than I was. His must have been laced with testosterone or something. I don't know, because my older brother, just 2 years older than me, he had like his full beard, you know, as a junior in high school. He was 6'3", no neck, just all muscle, tied in, linebacker. He was that dude in high school, the homecoming king, got the full scholarship to play college ball. That was Mike. And then there was me, little Randolph. Ooh. And so I lived with that. And maybe you have some of those memories from childhood. I think we all do, except for my brother. He has nothing he'd want to change. I hate him to this day. No, I don't. He's one of my best friends. But we have things that we want to change when we're young, right? And when we, you know, look at others and think, gosh, if only, man, or I want to be like that. But if we keep that into our adult years, you know, comparing ourselves or just wishing we were this way or wishing we had that and not having ever really embraced our uniqueness, who we are, that's a rough life to live. Because you're constantly wanting to be something else or to have what they have or to look like she looks or to be like that guy or whatever else. And it's a refusal to embrace the details and the you know, specificities of your own life. And again, it's really a rough way to live. Now, last week we talked about how can we reveal God's love right here where we are, and we had two fill-ins from last week. You can still write this down if you're taking notes from this week, and that was make invitations and have conversations, right? That's how we can reveal it. Make invitations, have conversations. Share meals with people, get to know people, share life with people. Today, I want to talk about a third way that has to do with what I was just sharing earlier. Another way that we can reveal God's love right where we're at, and write this down, that is share your story. Share your story. So for many of us, this is where it gets complicated. This is where it gets a little bit kind of messy. You know, we're okay with the making invitations with people. We're okay with having conversations and sitting down and sharing a meal and those kinds of things. I get that. I can do that. But share my story? with other people, right? What we're really going through, what I'm going through, what I have gone through, my story, well, that's another level. And it's at this point when we get this call or this commission to go share your story with other people, because that's how we save the world, that lies begin to come up again. And we want to expose those lies. Lies begin to creep up into our mind like, well, I don't really have much to share. Or, you know, what I would share, I don't know how that would really, you know, help anybody. Or my story is way too complicated. It's too difficult. Or it's not complicated enough. It's kind of boring. And, you know, I don't really think it would be impactful. Some people feel like, I'm too young. I don't really have a story yet. Or I'm too old and it's irrelevant and I'm kind of past doing that. Or some people might think, the shame in my life is too great. I haven't processed through it, and therefore I cannot share. Let me tell you, all those, that's how not to save the world. We believe those lies. Any lie that keeps us from sharing our story, that's how not to see people come to Jesus. Here's the truth. The details of your life, who you are, what you love, all that you've been through, everything about you, that's exactly what God wants to use in order to reach people. So here's a truth about what God uses. Write this down. What God uses, it's not those special people over there. God uses our details. Our details. Everybody say, my details. That's what he uses. He uses the details of our lives, each one of us individually. We are created by him. Genesis 1, 26. I want to read a few scriptures here. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. I've shared with you before, I have this actually written on my arm, Imago Dei, image bearers of God. I have to remember that. Sometimes I have to remember that because people, you know, people are crazy sometimes. And I have to remind myself, now that's an image bearer. I know you don't want to treat them as such, but they're an image bearer. Every human being is a Imago Dei that bears the image and the likeness of our Father. Helps us respect the dignity of humanity when we remember that. You're an image bearer. You are unique. Your details about your life are important because God fashioned you. God created you. And as you know, there's not another you. You're it. Psalm 139:13, the psalmist was contemplating this and thinking about this like we can. And he said this, you formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside, my intricate outside. You wove all them together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. Everything about you, your DNA, your personality, your appearance, your height, everything about you, where you were raised, how you were raised, your personality, those details about you, whether we like them all or not, those details about you is what makes you, you, and you so completely unique from anyone else. Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, for we are God's masterpiece. We're his masterpiece, his work of art. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now, I believe that the enemy of our souls really has hijacked our distinctiveness and made the details of our lives something that many of us disdain. He's hijacked them. He's made those things that make you unique and not like other people, the very thing that makes you disdain and wish it were different instead of embracing that. And I realize when I think about it, I know we live in a broken world, and that means we live with a broken humanity, a broken way of looking at people, and we tend to judge by appearance and look at that person. I wish I had that, and I wish I had that. And we feel judged and we judge others that way, and it prohibits us from embracing the uniqueness of who we are. Or that's the kind of personality I wish I was, or that's the kind of shape I wish I had. All of these things. And we do it quite largely, right? I mean, are celebrities accountants or teachers? Our celebrities are athletes and singers, right? Because we somehow in this flawed way of perception think that that seems to be greater. And it's not. And we gotta realize we've been drinking the juice for a lot of years. And so we just tend to go with it as normative until, here's the beautiful thing, until you become born again, until you become a Christian, you say, hold on, there's a new way of living. There's a new kingdom I live under. I don't need to have my mind still in that same cycle, rinse cycle that I was in when I was in the world. There's a new way to look at people. There's a new way to even embrace myself and to see myself. You're unique. There is nobody, think about this, because I know it sounds like, oh, that sounds like popsicle talk. You're unique. You're a special you. Something Barney would say or something. But you know what? It's true. What you bring to the table, what you do, what you bring to life, to the table, is extravagant simply because there's only it's one of a kind. You're a one of a kind. You really are. And that's why the enemy of our soul wants us to disdain that, but the lover of our soul wants us to embrace that. The greatest gift you have and that God wants to use is your story, not somebody else's. It's your story. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11 says, use whatever gift, that's a gift you have, use whatever gift you've received for the good of one another. Everybody say, for the good of one another. Use the gift that you have for the good of one another so that you can show yourselves to be good stewards of God's grace in all its varieties. Your uniqueness, the details of your life are important because God wants you to use your story, your details of your life for the good of others, for the good of others. So that's the truth about what God uses, your details. Your details, good, bad, and ugly. Also, God uses, you could write this down, what we've been through. What we've been through. Again, your story is your story, and your past is going to either hold you back from sharing your story or embracing your life. Your past is going to either hold you back or your past is going to present you a platform by which you have something to say. It's our choice and how we embrace that. I've shared with you before one of my most favorite words in all the human language, and it is a Bible word, but it goes way beyond a Bible word, is the word redemption. I love that word redemption. I also happen to love the word Baba Ganoush. I think that's a really impressive word. Thank you, Greeks, for bringing us that one. Redemption. That God takes something that is broken, and he fixes it. He takes something that is wanting to be thrown away, whether by society or that we throw away even our own selves or our past because it's filled with shame or regret or whatever else, and he wants to redeem it. I love the quality of God of redemption, that he takes that which would otherwise be discarded and he redeems it. He takes it. He wastes no scar that we have, no wound that we have. He wants to redeem it because it's all a part of our story, right? You see the importance of embracing our story, not being ashamed of it. It is what it is. And so when I embrace it, I realize that God wants to redeem this. I want you to look at this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because no matter what our past is filled with, if, the big word is if we will look to him, he will turn it around for something good. He will. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, but this beautiful treasure, meaning the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of Christ in our lives, this beautiful treasure is contained in us, cracked pots, made of earth and clay. So that, and here's the reason, so that the transcendent character of his power will be clearly seen as coming from God and not from us. How many of you would say amen to that? If anything good is going to come, if something's going to come from my story, I'm the cracked pot he fills. It's going to be of him. It's going to be of him. We are cracked and chipped from our afflictions on all sides, but we are not crushed by them. We are not crushed by them. We are bewildered at times, but we do not give in to despair. We are persecuted, but we have not been abandoned. We've been knocked down, but we're not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the reality of the brutal death and suffering of Jesus. We carry that. As a result, his power life, his resurrection life rises and reveals its wondrous power in our bodies as well. Let me tell you something. A sure way to stay in bondage to your past, if you want to know, a sure way to stay in bondage, anchored to your past, whether that's shame of your past, fear, abuse, whatever this is, a sure way to stay anchored to it is to never address it, is to bury it, is try to pretend like it didn't happen, just try to cowboy up and get over it, or hide that part of your life, you know? Don't talk about it, whatever. Try to live today like it never did happen. Well, listen, here I was wanting to tell you is it did happen. It did happen, though. It's a part of your story. What you've been through is uniquely a part of who you are, right? And if God has redeemed that and healed some things, anybody out here, you don't have to raise your hand, you've been healed of some things from your past that have happened. It's part of your story. You're going to be able to share things that are going to touch people in a way that I can't. And I'm going to be able to share things because I have a story to somebody similar over here that's they're going to be able to relate to. And so even if I'm still just a work in progress and it hasn't even been healed, it's still my story. It's a part of my life. And the good news is that in Christ, there's a new beginning, right? There's a new beginning in Christ, a means by which your past, whether good or bad or beautiful or ugly or, you know, good parenting, not so good parenting, liked, not liked, popular, unpopular, whatever that thing is that makes you uniquely you, God wants to take that and redeem it and use it for something good, for others' good, not just to heal you, but for other people's good. That's what the scripture said. In the book that Hosanna wrote, How Not to Save the World, she talks about this even in her own life. I love the way she puts it. She says, the things I wanted to hide were the things God wanted to use to expose who he is and what he can do. I spent so much of my life trying to figure out who I was supposed to be like that I didn't realize I was supposed to be more of who I already was. I thought the details of my life were walls, but they were doors. They were doors of opportunity. They weren't walls. What happened to me in my past or what happened and that I still carry around, that's not a wall that's going to keep me from experiencing life. It's not a wall that's going to keep me from being able to share my story. It's not that. We may see them as, regrets. And I get that. I get the pain that's associated with that. I really do at an intimate level. But they're not walls. They're doors that are going to create opportunities if we're willing to believe that God wants to use your story in all of its beauties and in all of its warts, right, and blemishes. It makes us who we are. One of our values here at our church, Dennis Church, we have 8 core values. One of them is lights on, windows open. Lights on, windows open. That means we don't want to hide who we really are and what we're really dealing with in our lives. We want to say what needs to be said. We want to do what needs to be done. We want to live honestly with people so that we can encourage one another in our faith and not practice the role of the poser, encourage each other in our faith, and move on into the things of God. That's lights on, windows open. And that's a value that we have. One of the ways that we do this, we talked about it in hosting, is through our growth groups. Be in groups where you can get to know people and encourage one another in your faith. There is no point in putting on a facade and trying to impress a world that we are actually called to share ourselves with. How can the poser do that? We can't, because we're sharing with them the person we want them to see instead of the one who we really are. Our stories, none of our stories are what we wish they were, but they are what they are. And as we embrace them, even the stuff that we've been through, God will then take that, anoint it, and use it to touch people's lives. And think of the liberty that comes in your life when it's not like, well, I just don't care what people think. It's not that. It's like, this is who I am. Why would I spend so much time trying to be something that I am not naturally? This is how God has made me. And God wants to use that. So here's the last one, the truth about what God uses. God uses our, everybody say, real stories. You are not enthusiastic with that statement right there. Let's try that one again. God uses our what? Our real story. Because there are false stories. There are stories to tell just to impress other people. Or to posture us up. Whatever. God uses our real stories. Our insecurities. Our securities. He uses our real stories to what? To reveal his very real power. So consequently, his very real power is not revealed when we use our wish stories. Or our portioned stories. His power is made perfect in what? Somebody tell me. Weakness. His power is not made perfect when I'm powerful. His power is made perfect in our weakness and our struggles and our flaws. God uses our real stories to reveal his real power. I love one of my favorite passages of the scripture. I think we talked about this a few months ago. Was the story in John chapter 4 of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And the Samaritans and the Jews, they did not get along. Long backstory on that, but they did not get along. They both hated each other. And here's this woman at this well. Jesus shows up. The disciples had left to go into town to get food. And Jesus was by the well and asked this woman, would you give me a drink? And she's like, you're a Jew. How are you asking me, a Samaritan woman, let alone to get you a drink? And they have this discourse. And they're talking back and forth. And he's like, well, if you had the kind of water I can give, living water, you'd never have to come back, to this well here again. It springs up within you. It'd give you life. And she's like, give me that kind of water. And he says, go call your husband. And she says, I have no husband. And so now he's getting into the details of her life. And he says to her, you're right. In fact, you've had five who you've been with. The one you're with right now is not even your husband. So you're obviously still in the search mode. And she's like, are you a prophet? And he's like, duh. How do you think I just said what I said right there? No, he didn't say that. She says, I know that the Messiah is going to come one day, and he's going to make all things clear and plain. And they had this wonderful discourse, and he says, well, I'm him. It's the time he claimed to be, the Messiah. And then after this discourse where it's like her heart was completely stirred, right? And even her past was kind of brought on the table, not in a shaming way, but in like, hey, this is your past. Okay, it is what it is. Now let's deal with it. Then it says in verse 28, the woman left her water jar beside the well. She didn't even bring her water with her, which is the whole reason she went to the well. And ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? And so the people came streaming from the village to see him. What did she do? She told people her story. And her story wasn't the prettiest of stories. And probably a lot of these people knew bits and pieces of her story anyways, but she unfolded it because she met Jesus. And so she began to tell other people, this is my story. This man, he came to me, he did this, he did that. And it was still an immature story, right? We're still in day one of her experience. But then the people responded and they came and they heard Jesus. And it says down to verse 42, then they said, the people from the community, they said, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him for ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. See how important telling your story is with people? People get touched. They get moved. The end game, though, isn't your story. It's like, now we appreciate your story. We thank you. Now I believe, not just because of your story, but because I've heard him. Because I've heard him. That's the end result. That's the importance. How not to save the world? Silence your story. Think you're not Christian enough to tell people. Think you're not spiritual enough. Think you've got too many issues in your life. Too many things that will not be helpful. If they knew this about my life. Listen, I want you to pause and think about who God used in the Bible. One of the reasons I am convinced that the Bible is not written by man but was inspired by the Holy Spirit and what to write and how to write it is because if this was just a concoction of man to create some religion, we would have left out all the big blunders of our heroes, right? I mean, you could go down the list. You think about Abraham. Abraham is willing to tell Pharaoh that his wife is his sister. He can sleep with her so that he won't get killed. How many of you women right now, your husband looks a little bit better to you right now, right? That's Abraham. Moses was afraid to speak. Even when God commissioned him, Moses was fearful. Bible records that. David, come on. David was an adulterer. David was a murderer in order to be with that man's wife. That's David. Naomi had lost so much and dealt with severe depression in her life, and yet her story is recorded there. Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was a prostitute, but God used her. In fact, she's a great-grandmother of King David, and she's in the lineage of Jesus, the Messiah. Matthew was a tax collector and became a disciple of Jesus. Simon, not Simon Peter, but the other disciple, Simon, was a zealot. That means he was an anarchist. He wanted to overthrow the tyranny of Rome. That's who he was, a zealot. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, was a former religious elite, and he was a murderer of Christians. This is what is amazing. The Gospels, when we have the Gospels, they're written out. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were written by men who walked with Jesus. And guess what those Gospels record? They're stories where they failed Jesus, where they betrayed him, where they didn't stand for him, where they blew it, where they tried to chase people away. And they knew it was wrong in hindsight, where they tried to keep the children quiet, and Jesus was like, let them come to me. They recorded their own blunders. Why? Hear me. Because it's part of their story. It's part of who they are. They didn't have to hide from it. Why? Because he makes all things beautiful. He redeems all things. He makes them like new, but he can only make something beautiful that is brought to him. And so they didn't hide from it. That's why Paul said, I brag on my weaknesses, so that his power may be made known in me. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 6 says, your life story confirms the life story of the anointed one. Your life story. That I was lost and now I'm found. That I'm still bust up, but boy, was I ever even more so at one time. I had so much shame, or I had this. My life story confirms the story of the anointed one. Because he's done this in my life. He's doing this in my life. How not to save the world? Silence your story. Keep it all to yourself. Silence your story. We have a men's group that I belong to. And it's just a small group. But about a year ago, year and a half ago, one of the guys said, hey, why don't we all share our story? So everybody, took a turn. And at the beginning, each week it was a different guy and just shared their story, who they were, what they came from, what their family was like, where they went to school, just different things like that. And it was a powerful experience. It took about 5-6 weeks, and you got to hear from these different men. And then what that did is it created this opportunity for it not to be, Mark leading a group, but everybody speaking to one another, talking about their stories and building relationships and watching people get encouraged in their faith. I've watched this it's been one of the greatest encouragements of mine for 30 years in ministry, is seeing people share their story. As limited as you think you have, or the limits you think you have to share it with. Like, you may be thinking, I'm still such a work in progress, I don't know that I should be. What would I say? Maybe you tell somebody you're a work in progress. That's part of your story. You're still working through some of these things. But God will take what you share around that dinner table, that walk on that beach, that surf session, that building of whatever. God will take that, not as you're shoving it down people's face. You're waiting for that appropriate moment, and you're just sharing some things about what God means to you and where you were and where you're at now. That's how to save the world. In fact, I'm going to call the band back up right now. I want to read this verse. Romans chapter 10, I love this. It says, but how can they call on him, God, to save them unless they believe in him, right? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Do you have beautiful feet? How beautiful are the feet of those people who will share the good news, who will tell your sister or your brother when they're going through something just about what God means to you. And I mean that, your biological brother or sister that you haven't talked to in a while, or your estranged family member or aunt or your neighbor who you know what they're going through. You know they've been through this, you see. And you don't have to preach at them, but you can at some point share what God means to you. And it can just open up a conversation maybe. Even if they say, oh, I'm not interested in that, or I don't believe that. Okay, don't force it. The Holy Spirit now will take what you have shared, and boy, he does it. Sometimes it's like in a sleepless night, he reminds them of things that were shared by who shared them. And he brings it to their mind, and it stirs their heart. You see, how will they believe unless they hear? How are they going to hear unless somebody shares? That's my encouragement to you this morning. Share, share. And some of us have shame because of our past, so we feel like we don't want to share. Listen, I want to pray that God heals you for that and restores you. Some have fear to share their story for whatever reason, but we want to pray that God gives you courage to be able to just take that step, even if it feels awkward. Take that step and share your story. So I want you to stand with me. We're going to close in prayer. We're going to sing a wonderful song. But I want to pray for you right now. Because it says, how can they hear, your neighbors, your friends, how can they hear about him unless someone tells them, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? I want you to know right now, just even as a pastor, kind of a thing, you know, I commission you, because that's what the Lord commissioned us to do, send you into the spaces where you live, where you work, and where you play. Share the gospel. Share the good news with people. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, and we ask you, Lord, would you help those who are here right now? Help them who struggle with fear, apprehension about sharing, for fear they're going to be misinterpreted or whatever, not invited anymore. Father, help them to know it doesn't have to be a weird thing. It's just sharing that what's a part of your life. Father, I pray that you'd give courage there. I pray that you would give a knowing in their spirits that this is important to live now and to be used by God in these ways. Lord, would you help us? Help us to reach our friends, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, Lord. And I pray for anybody here this morning who feels shame over their past and they have not embraced their story, really, to know your healing virtue, that you will redeem that. And so we offer that to you right now, just the things of our past, things of our what we've been through, some of the regret, some of the shame, some of what we have experienced. Lord, we ask you to bring healing to that. Would you pray for that right now? Pray for that right now. Lord, I bring you this thing in my past which has kept me from embracing my story. Lord, would you heal that? Ask him right now. Lord, would you heal that? Bring it to him. That regret, whatever that is, that fear, that shame. I might feel so ashamed about something that was 20 years ago. Or something that was done to you. God, would you heal that? I want to bring this to you right now. Lord, help me. Help me to get free from my past so that my past can actually become a platform by which I share my story for the good of others, God. For the good of others. Thank you, God, that you are a redeemer of all things. You turn our ashes and transform them into beauty. And we thank you for that today. You're a redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's declare this song today as we sing. It's Graves into Gardens. Let's sing it and declare it as part of our story, what we believe about him. And then I'm going to close this off.